She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 125 with yours truly on sharing the 10 things I wish I would have done sooner in my business.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hi, She Did Her Way listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am your host, Amanda Bolin, and super excited to be here. I have not recorded a solo cast in a very long time, and I just had the urge to do one and share some of the things that I wish I would have done sooner in my business, since this podcast is all about building businesses. So if this is the first time you guys are tuning in, thank you so much for jumping on to the She Did It Her Way train. And if you guys have been listening for quite some time, thank you guys as always. All right. So as we go into the 10 things I wish I would have done sooner in my business, they are in no particular order, I might add. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to get into the first one. The first one, I wish I would have set goals with metrics in the beginning much sooner than when I started setting goals with metrics. And in the beginning, I think I was living in a woo-woo world where I was reading things like The Secret and Law of Attraction. And while I believe there is some truth to that as well, because you have to set your intentions and put it out in the world, the piece that I was personally missing was actually setting goals for myself and measuring them with metrics. If you've been a part of the She Did It Her Way, the Her Way Challenge, a couple of weeks ago, I sent an email talking about how to set goals using the SMART method. So making sure that they are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And so making sure they're specific enough so you know exactly what you need to do, having them be measurable so you actually have metrics, you can use numbers to track them, and making sure they're attainable, because the thing, if they're not attainable and they're very far out there, it's a massive goal, you will end up feeling discouraged and overwhelmed when you don't hit it, or you'll actually feel like it's this massive goal and it's going to energetically bog you down. And then again, that's that realistic piece, making sure that they are attainable as well. And it's encouraging, not discouraging. And then the last one, putting a timestamp on it. So if you want to double your revenue in your business, making sure you write how much you want to double it, making sure it is attainable, it's realistic, and then putting a timestamp on it. So when do you want to double your business? Is it within 2 months? Is it in 6 months? What is that time frame? So the second thing that I wish I would have started doing in my business was I wish I would have gotten more clear on my target market earlier in the beginning. And specifically with the podcast in the beginning, when we launched it, we just started doing interviews, not really 100% sure exactly who the target market is for the podcast. And we started throwing things against the wall, seeing what stuck, what didn't. And then that actually helped us curate more specifically who our target market was and is currently at the time. And so sometimes in the beginning when you're starting your business, you may not know exactly who your target market is. And I do believe that that is okay for some part of the time, but ultimately it is best to choose. People in other podcasts and books that I've read, they've always said the riches are in the niches, and not necessarily that riches as in monetary riches, but just the value that you can provide for your target audience. Because when you have a clear picture on that, you know exactly what content and value to provide. Number three, I wish I would have said no more. And what I mean by that is I just know my personality type, and I get very excited at any opportunity to collaborate or meet people up for coffee or go to dinner, grab drinks, and get to know people's story. What had happened is I was saying yes so much that my energy, even though I get energy from other people, I still have to have a certain level of downtime in order to recoup that energy. As much as an extrovert as I am, I still need that. I also realized that I was saying yes to things that didn't necessarily align with my business. And so again, when it came down to actually attending that event or those coffee meetups and whatnot, I was just energetically drained. And I also found myself wishing that I hadn't said yes to it because I needed to focus on other things that were more important to the business. So just knowing that it is okay to say no. Oof. Okay. This one, the fourth one is getting a bookkeeping system. So in the beginning, when I started doing consulting roughly over 5 years ago, I had money going in and going out a lot, because for independent consulting, you book your own flights, you pay your own hotel, you pay your own food, and then you submit your expenses to get reimbursed by the client. So the money, I was spending a lot of money up front, and then I was billing and I was waiting for money to come in. And I really, in the beginning, I didn't have a formal tracking system that I wish I would have set up in the beginning. And then I started using Google Docs. And then through there, I tried out numerous systems. I tried out QuickBooks, and I found that to be too robust for what I needed. I moved into the GoDaddy Outright, I believe it's called, and that was not enough for me and for what I needed. I tried Xero, which is X-E-R-O, and now I finally landed on FreshBooks, and I pay, I think, either $10 to $15 a month, which I believe is worth it because I can track everything. I can get a real-time snapshot of profit and loss and know who has not paid me back and what invoices I have out as well. So it keeps me on track and I can be sure that I have all my money accounted for, because actually at one time in the beginning, I didn't realize until 5 months after the fact, when I finally dug into all my money and invoices and keeping track of things, that I was missing a significant check from one of my clients that I had never followed up on and had been sent to the wrong address, but it had just gotten lost. And so spending that money and investing in that bookkeeping system is so worth it. But also to that, I wish I would have set a personal budget and a business budget way sooner in the beginning to really keep track of where the money was going. Okay, the fifth thing I wish I would have done sooner is found a mentor that aligned with the stage of my business at the time. And so I think it's important to have multiple mentors for different reasons, because they can speak to different things in your life. One of the things that I look for in a mentor is someone who I can trust and I can be open, authentic, and vulnerable with. At the same time, he or she knows that they can kick my butt into gear when that they will actually hold me accountable if I start slipping, or if I get out of if I start feeling sorry for myself, because we're human and that happens. But you need someone who is willing to call you out and give you advice about entrepreneurship. So finding someone who makes sense, but also making sure it's a mutual energetic exchange. So how are you adding value to that person as well? For the seventh thing, I wish I would have been revenue-driven mindset in the beginning, really focused on, okay, what are the avenues that I can bring in revenue to my business, whether it's consulting or it is with the podcast? What are ways that I can help sustain and grow the business? I don't know why I wasn't really thinking about that in the beginning. I think part of it in regards to consulting is that for the first year and a half when I was doing that, I had pretty steady project work. So in my mind, I didn't have to think about it. I just assumed that it would always be there. And it wasn't until I had an experience where one of the clients who was roughly 75-80% of my income for that matter ended up scaling back to becoming only 40%. And I didn't fill the funnel to really figure out, okay, what's the backup plan? How else am I driving revenue into my business? And I didn't ask those questions. So if you're thinking about starting a business or you are in the early stages, think about ways and different revenue streams that you can bring in your business into the business. Because when you have money, it's easier to outsource things that you may or may not want to do to other people that can do them faster and can do them better than you. So being revenue driven and having that mindset. Number eight, do not pole vault over mouse shirts, aka don't make things to be this mountainous task or activity. Because oftentimes, and I still do this time to time, I will think of something that I have to do and I dread doing it without any true reason why I should dread doing it. I just make it out to be a bigger deal in my head. And then once I start taking action on it, I realize, it's really not that big of a deal, or it's not that big of a task. I just needed to break it down and in my mind just start working on it. So don't pole vault over mouse turds, because when you do, you become paralyzed and you procrastinate. So don't do that. Number 9, contracts. When you are starting your business in the beginning, there's this thing that it's harder for us to think of using contracts. But I can tell you that contracts are a good thing, and they don't necessarily mean that just because you're using contracts that you don't trust someone or you don't believe that they'll do the adequate amount of work. Contracts are really good thing to leverage, whether you're doing client work or it's a business partnership agreement, because what happens is when you start working and you don't have the contract in place, it's hard to hold people accountable to what you believe should be the expectation. Where with the contracts and you set forth, everyone's clear on their roles. Everyone knows exactly what's to be delivered. You also, I've seen it before where if there's not a contract in place and you start doing work and then trying to get paid and then people may not pay you, I've seen that happen, not personally to me, but through other people in my network. And so now it's very clear that if they are going to do a project, they require 50% of the project up front before they get started. And being okay, again, just using contracts and writing them. And they don't have to be necessarily anything fancy. Just have it written in writing, an agreement that you have between you and that other person, so that you can use those as accountability pieces for both parties in that conversation. The 10th and final thing is to have a vision, even if it's just, it's a sentence long. It doesn't have to be a massive business plan by any means, but having a vision and knowing where you want to go, because not having a vision without having a vision, the people will perish. I believe that is a proverb, or it came out of the Bible, but I cannot agree with that more. Write a vision for yourself or for your business. Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years? And then back into it when you start building out that business plan, but making sure you have that vision to lead you forward so you know where you're going. And with that, my friends, those are 10 things that I wish I would have done sooner in my business. And I hope you guys have a lovely weekend. If anything resonated with you in this podcast, or you want me to do more solo casts or different topics, please reach out on social media, leave us a comment on Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, what have you, whatever is easiest for you guys. Also, I'm so excited. Starting in February, we have a 6-week series that we are going behind the scenes with a listener who actually reached out to me, I don't know, probably about 6 months ago. And she has been building her business, and she thought it would be a really good idea to follow her along and track the progress of her business. And so we are going behind the scenes real time with Cordova, who lives in Alaska and has launched Resolute Boutique. I cannot wait. I can't tell you guys how much I've even learned from our conversations. And they're full of amazing content and inspiration and action plans for you guys. So with that, I'll leave you with this, and knowing as you go into your weekend that the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.